Brother Todd read in the book of Titus the core of the message I want to briefly share with you today. But I want to back up in the book of Titus to a ramp up to that core message that I think is important for us to hear today. And I believe it's really timely on a family celebration day on Mother's Day. So, good to see you. He made it. So let me read in chapter 2, verses 2 and following, or 1 and following. It says, "But as for you, Paul writing to Titus and to the church, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women wise, likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good work, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say." That's a lot of words, but basically what Paul is saying to Titus is that there is great value in cultivating an intergenerational environment in the church. If you read through that passage of Scripture, it says in the passage of Scripture that older men have a responsibility to be sowing wisdom and guidance and wise counsel into the rest of the body of Christ, the church. That younger men are wise to listen to wise counsel from older men, recognizing that there are men who are older and wiser, who've been around the block a while, who've been through a few things, who can teach younger men a thing or two. Same thing with women. Older women who've been around for a while have a responsibility to live your life in such a way that you are a testimony to those who are younger, who are trying to figure it out because they're by nature younger. And younger women have a responsibility to listen to older women and allow that season of wisdom and guidance and instruction about the things of God and the ways of the world and the ways of family be a contribution into your life. And so Paul writes to Titus, and he writes on to the New Testament church and says that the balance and the health of a church is built around these intergenerational relationships. I want us to just meditate for a moment on these new babies that have been introduced into our church family and think about it for a moment. There are several 90-plus-year-old people that are members of our church right now. Several. We were talking about it a moment ago. You think about that for a moment. These 93, 94, 95-year-old people are a part of the family of faith that are these 0 to 1-year-olds. You think about that for a second. And what advantage that these 0-year-olds, if you will, or almost 1-year-olds, have by having 95 years of wisdom prayed over and invested in and contributing into their lives. It almost sounds like a sales pitch, but where else could you get that but the church? And what Paul is saying to Titus is this works. And those who are of advanced age in the body of the church, the body of Christ, have great value as contributors to the whole of the body. And those who are of the youngest have great value and great responsibility to absorb all that they possibly can from those who are older. And to think of that mix of people that are in the body of Christ. I give an observation about children in today's world. Children being born in our world today are up against it. There are those, even in our own country, that do not value the life in the womb and have no regard for the body of a child that is growing inside of mother, no more regard than it might be some sort of cyst or some sort of toenail that needs some infection. It's a body, it's a life, it's a person that's growing inside the mother. And all of these children are evidence of full fingers and toes and full personality and the full potential that God has delivered through these moms and through these families into the world. There are many children that don't have the advantages that these dozen or so children that we've been watching be born and grow into the church family, that they don't have the advantage that these children are having. And so these brand new babies and these brand new mommies and daddies must understand that it is a great responsibility to take on the advantages of being invested in by this church family as a result of where your children have landed and where you've chosen to allow your children to grow. It's important also to recognize that moms and dads, as you raise up your children, that this advantage that they've been given by starting here, by starting with this almost 100 years of investment on their behalf right here, is not something to be selfish about, not something to be hoarding or just keeping to yourself, but to raise up your children in such a way that they'll understand that the stewardship of the beginning of their life is a part of their calling to be investing in the world, to make a difference in the world, to grow up into boys and girls and men and women who go out into the world and find the greatest value in this world of giving away this life of Christ that is started in the body of Christ in the church. It's a great responsibility that these wiggly little ones have right now. And it is one that their parents don't take lightly as these children grow up and are investing in others in the world. And so Paul speaks of that as the environment of the church, that olders invest in youngers, older men, older younger men, older women, younger women, and all the way through the generations, so these babies will have maximum opportunity to grow up in the way that the Lord intended. And as a result of that, he says this in about five quick statements, because, you know, we got only so much time with these little ones. I understand that. But the passage of Scripture that Todd read a moment ago is kind of the core of what I want to leave us with today. As we create and continue to cultivate this intergenerational mix in the body of Christ, because it says to do so, and it's because who we are, we need to remember five quick things. First of all, we need to embrace grace. We're breathing today because of grace. We're allowed to exist on the planet today because of grace. The grace of God has overwhelmed us with His Son's love. He has sent His Son to not condemn us to a world away from God, but to redeem us into a relationship with Him even while we were yet sinners. And so God said, I'm serious about my relationship with you. I'm so serious about my relationship with you that I'm even willing to give up my Son in order to have a relationship with you. And that is a benefit that comes by grace. Confessionally, we all have had experiences of living outside of grace, saying to ourselves, I know better how to run my life than anybody. I know how to fix my own problems. I can go my own way, do my own thing, and immediately move outside of grace. And all of us, hopefully, will have a testimony that says that just does not work. The simpler life, the peaceful life, the life of grace, is to live a life in such a way that admits and recognizes that God is in charge and I'm not. And from that exchange, there's this great sigh of relief that I don't have to be solely responsible for my life. And in fact, if I capture that as a matter of grace for my life, I can understand that God's ways are better than my ways. God's plan is better than my plan. And I'll go His way and I'll be fine. Embracing grace. The passage of Scripture says, secondly, that our focus is to be salvation. All of this that we're about as the church, all of this that we are about as the family of God, all of us as human beings on the planet are intended to be saved and returned to a permanent forever relationship with God in heaven with Him. That's the most important thing that we can communicate to these infant babies as they grow into the age of understanding sin and a need for a Savior. That's the most important thing that we can communicate to our families, through the generations, to our community as we sit here on this corner and understand the responsibility we have in the community. It's about being saved. It's about being born again. As many of you know, Bob and Liz Bolick passed away over this weekend at a funeral service celebration for them yesterday and a graveside service for them today. If I heard it once, I heard it a half a dozen times. Make sure you tell the people in the church service about how to be saved. that dear saintly couple of God that we miss already but have gone to be with glory. The most important thing they wanted to communicate was how to be born again. And we would do their memory a disservice if we did not communicate that as the message of their lives. It is, in fact, the message of the church. It is the message of our lives to simply come to the place where we admit we're sinners. Truth of it is, nobody has trouble knowing that. Some have trouble admitting it. But we admit that we're sinners, and the wages of sin is death, and the confession of our mouth and the belief in our heart that God raised Him from the dead provides salvation every time a person asks. You see, Jesus has already said yes to His part in salvation. And so it's important for us to embrace grace, to focus on salvation, to lead these babies and children to come to the place of knowing Him in a personal way. To be able to, you know, my testimony is that I came to know Jesus Christ as a 9-year-old boy. I wasn't particularly sinful before that. I've been a Christian 50 years. You know how appreciative I am to my parents for giving that to me early? To not have to struggle and strain at that. And these children that are coming up in our church family can have the same opportunity to be sealed in their relationship with Christ early and never have those experiences of wandering or insecurity or wondering if Christ loves them. And so it's important for us to not only focus on salvation, but to teach sound doctrine. To teach the doctrine, which is meaning that we teach the Word of God. And all of those obscure names and deep in the Old Testament and all those hard to understand stories deep in the Bible in the early part coincide with the understandable New Testament stories. That book of Revelation, I don't get that book. But it's learnable, it's understandable, and it's to teach the Word of God and to help our church family and to help our children to know that this is the guidebook of living. And you don't master this book like you would Science 101. It takes a lifetime to master this book. It's always new. It's always fresh. And even if your Bible study was just a random find a page and read it, even that way, which is not the best way, even that way would speak a word of truth and guidance into your life. But to teach our children and our families to have a systematic learning and studying and understanding of the Word of God as the guidebook for living. Those who are older have a responsibility to model that to those who are younger, who are younger, all the way to the next one that is to be born, so that they will know the teaching of the Word. In the passage of Scripture, fourthly, it also says that those who are older, that are older than ones that are younger, have a responsibility to live properly. Notice what it says. It says to live soberly. It's important to be sober-minded. It's important to practice good things, not be slanderers, not have poor behavior. It's a scattering of right behavior examples there. It breaks our testimony down when we see those that are older than us living outside of a claimed testimony. And so there is a responsibility that we have to live properly so that others might see the proper way of life. And then lastly, we'll close with this. When we live that way, we can expect the promises of God. Well, where do we find the promises of God? Well, they're found in this passage of Scripture, but they're found all over the Bible. There's not a place in the Bible that they're disconnected from. And all the promises that are written in the Scripture are for you and for me. We can expect those promises of God, that God cares about us. He gives us a purpose. He answers our prayers. He gives us guidance for living. He gives us answers when we are confused. He solves problems. He is our Father. He is our friend. And on we can go about claiming the blessings of God. It begins with a personal relationship with Jesus. And it continues as we walk with Him.